So here we are, 3 weeks after the Golden State Warriors win the NBA championship. At this point, we really should be focusing on the NBA Summer League that's going on right now in Las Vegas. But leave it to Kevin Durant to decide he wants to request a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. What will Kyrie Irving end up? What's been your favorite free agent signing of this offseason thus far? Oh, and please don't miss the final segment. I got something good planned for you guys today. All that and more coming up on 94 Feet. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. The NBA, it really is a soap opera. I'm telling you, you guys, it doesn't get any better than this. All right, we're off to some big season trades that have happened so far. KD wants out of Brooklyn. Kyrie Irving might become a Laker. And who knows what's going on with Ben Simmons. Oh, here we go. It never stops. It never stops. Welcome on in, guys, to 94 Feet. This is your host, B.O. Dita, here with you. I hope you guys are doing well. This evening, happy July. I hope you guys had a nice time last weekend for the Independence Day weekend. It took some time just to enjoy the good weather, enjoy the family, all the good food, and enjoy Independence Day. That's what it's about, right? I know I did. So I'm happy to be back on here with you guys. I hope you guys are having a good summer so far. I'm telling you, the NBA, this is supposed to be the off season, but I mean, you couldn't tell just by the news that just keeps rolling out. I mean, Kevin Durant nearly broke the internet with his information, so... You know, as I mentioned before, just tune in, get your popcorn, don't miss a moment. I know I don't, so I hope you guys are staying tuned with me. But let's go ahead and get right into what's on my mind for today. Got something cool I want to share with you guys as well for the line segment, so stick around for that. For anybody that's new, welcome on into 94 Feet. Hit that subscribe button. My name is B.O. Dita. All right, I get into a lot of cool stuff here in this podcast, mainly talking about basketball, but every once in a while, I mix in some other cool content. As well from on the sports platform. And the final segment, stick around. I don't want to spoil it for you, so I want you to see what it's all about. So, getting right into what's on my mind, guys. First thing I want to do is give a big congratulations to the Golden State Warriors for securing their fourth NBA championship in the last 8 years. A couple different things I want to hit on. Just takeaways that I have from watching this. Number one, I want to give credit to the Boston Celtics. This is a team that at the beginning of the season, October of 2021, was not expected to be in this position. I think by the time the regular season ended, yes, it was very real because of the way that they closed out their regular season, becoming the number one defense in the NBA. But you definitely saw sights of, you know, throughout this whole playoff run. I think they had the most toughest playoff, matchups on the way there. I mean, in terms of getting to the Brooklyn Nets, we know, you know, the greatness of guys like Kyrie and Kevin Durant as individual players, and to be able to beat them for nothing. And I don't think a lot of people don't understand how difficult it is to beat somebody four times in a row. All right. Now I haven't played in the NBA, but I know what it takes to win a basketball game. And the thing is this: if you're playing basketball with me, right, every day. At some point, like any other intelligent person, you're going to start to learn what some of my habits are, okay? You're going to learn. Now, you talk about a guy like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving who have a bag of arsenal that is just never-ending, you know, it makes it that much more tougher to figure out, you know, what are necessarily their habits that they're going to lean on. But again, to be able to take two guys like that and literally neutralize their game and suffocate the offense, I give a lot of credit to the Boston Celtics, you know, and that was their first round matchup. Let's not forget. Then they took on the Bucks. Then they took on the Heat. You know, I think the Bucks probably would have beat them, in my opinion. I think if Chris Middleton was there, I think that was a big missing factor for the Milwaukee Bucks. But you know what? The Celtics won at the end of the day. That's what we're talking about. They won. They beat the Heat. I think the Heat series was, the other tough one. Both the Bucks and the Heat series went 7 games. So definitely some long series there. I think the Celtics as well probably could have done some things to make sure that it didn't go as long, especially in that Heat series, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But you know what? You know, I give credit. I give credit to where it's due. Next person I want to talk about here is Draymond Green. Guys, now Draymond, I'll put it to you this way. Draymond has been rather loquacious lately. All right. He's had a lot to say. He's been on a lot of podcasts. He's got his own podcast going on, which he's doing a wonderful job with. I've listened to a few episodes myself. If you guys haven't, it's called The Draymond Green Show. I definitely recommend you check it out. I believe it is simulcast, and it's on YouTube. You can probably find it on any other podcast platform. He's had a lot to say, you know, and part of it's got me a little bit concerned because I want to make sure that the Warriors can live up to all the expectations that he's giving for the years to come. You know, but the one thing I will say about Draymond, the one thing I do appreciate him is I just appreciate the authenticity. You know, you talk about the fact that, you know, this final series was definitely a series where he struggled in, and he was very utterly open and honest about the fact that, yo, I sucked. Literally, that's what he said. Actually, no, that's not what he said. He had some other choice words, which I will not be sharing here on 94 Feet. But you can find them if you go on YouTube. You can check out and hear what it was that he had to say. But he straight up told the media. They asked him, how do you think you've been playing this year? Man, I've been playing like garbage. He didn't even sugarcoat it. Some was sitting right there next to him on the left-hand side. I've been playing like garbage. Let him tell you. I mean, and that takes a lot of heart because, I mean, again, the average person, what? You know, we don't want to talk down on ourselves. You know, but being in the platform and the position that he's in now, in terms of that he's not just a player, but now having a chance to be a part of the media, you got to keep it real, man, and you got to keep it straight down the line. And you can't be biased to the fact of your own personal opinion, your own personal feelings about yourself. Now, he was playing bad. You know, so I give him a lot of credit. You know, I think he cleaned it up. And I think he definitely came through for his team, you know, when he needed it most, you know, as the series really waned in Games 5 and in Game 6. You know, so I give Draymond a lot of credit. Next guy I want to hit here on is Klay Thompson. Just happy for him, man, because of everything that he overcame. Injuries themselves are not fun, if you've ever been hurt before. But the fact that he went to two catastrophic injuries back-to-back, you know, with the ACL tear in 2019 and then the Achilles in 2020. I mean, it just, you know, to go through that, the team essentially is at the bottom of the barrel. They couldn't even win. I don't even remember how many games they won in those two series. There's 2 years that they missed the finals, or they missed the playoffs. But, you know, it's tough, you know, to be able to go through something like that. You got all these doubters and haters out there that think Klay Thompson is not going to be the same player. They're thinking about other players who've gone through these injuries and essentially have never returned to their normal form. That was a lot to overcome, you know, and on top of that, you have a team that's still relying on you to be another great shooter on the side of Steph Curry, you know, and a major piece within that three-piece core that they have with Curry himself and Draymond Green. I think Klay Thompson did probably about as good as you could ever expect for a guy who's coming off the injuries that he came off of. You know, certainly wasn't as quick and as agile as I was used to seeing him be in the years past. You talk about his ability to defend and like having that quick first step. I didn't necessarily see it. I mean, but let's see what he looks like next year. He's now got about 6 or 7 months of basketball underneath his feet. He's got the whole offseason to go ahead and get ready. And now he has the confidence of knowing I can actually do this because he just did it in the past season. So let's see what he looks like next year. You know, I think it'll definitely be interesting, you know, to see if he can get back to being that elite defender that we remembered him being. And I think his shot is just only going to continue to flow and become more comfortable for him as the season goes on. You know, it's a lot. You know, I think it's two-part when you talk about recovery. It's the basketball aspect of, yeah, just getting out there and playing basketball, but it's also the mental aspect in terms of reminding yourself of, yes, I can actually do this. You know, and you talk about the attention, and you talk about the focus that it takes to be able to just perform night in and night out on a daily basis. You know, it really is a process. I'll put it to you that way. Next thing I want to focus on is just the Warriors role players. A lot of good things that we saw from many different players. Gary Payton Jr. II, Jonathan Kuminga. He didn't play that much, but definitely put a few minutes in there. Otto Porter came up huge. Andrew Wiggins probably could have been MVP if it wasn't Steph Curry. Kevon Looney played well. Draymond, like I said, you know, he struggled, but he definitely, you know, cleaned some things up. Jordan Poole, he struggled in the beginning, but he cleaned it up as time went on. So definitely just giving a lot of credit to the role players. I think they definitely did their thing as well, you know, in terms of just being able to keep a balance and help their team overcome. Next person I wanted to hit on was Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, first NBA Finals. I wouldn't call it a terrible performance, but I wouldn't call it a great one either. I think, like anything else, we knew that this was going to be tough for him. And my expectation from the beginning going in, I knew that if the Celtics had any chance of even winning, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown had to be immaculate. They had to be out of world great. I mean, on a whole nother realm we've never seen him before. And the reason why I felt like that was because I was not confident in the rest of the roster for the Boston Celtics in terms of being able to score and keep up with a high power offensive team like the Warriors. I was not confident, you know, in some of these other guys. You know, now I think about game one, Al Horford and Derek White pretty much came through with about more than 20 to 25 points apiece for each one of those guys. And especially down the stretch, Derek White and Al Horford both, you know, hit some major shots. But after that, you really didn't see it again. You know, so I knew, like I said, the stars were going to have to be the stars in order for them to survive. No disrespect to, you know, Smart, Grant, or any of those other guys, Pritchard. But it's just that, you know, again, when you get the finals, the game is still the game. You got to be able to score. You got to be able to score, you know, and I didn't know if you were going to be able to get that consistent production. I think Jason Tatum, you know, if I could just kind of analyze his game there for a second in terms of what I saw, I think Jason Tatum was a better player in this series when he focused on getting to the basket. When you look at the way they won game three, you know, his ability to be able to get to the basket and just be aggressive in the end of the game as opposed to settling for jump shots, to me that made all the difference in the world. Half of the time, the person that was defending him was not even his size. So, I mean, you know, you talk about his ability to be able to get to the basket and be able to shoot over whoever was in front of him. Sometimes it was Gary Payton Jr., you know, because of like a switch off that would run like a pick and get like a smaller defender on him. And he was able essentially just to go to work and do whatever he needed to do. You know, I think in the final games of game five and game six, he set up for the jump shot. Wasn't as aggressive. And I think, you know, just the fact that he wasn't hitting the shots, it just got in his head. Couldn't be the same player that we expected him to be. You know, and it wasn't, like I said, a terrible performance, but it wasn't the best one either. So I'll be interested to see what he looks like going forward. I know he's going to go ahead and correct, you know, the things that need to be put back in place. But, you know, a lot of credit given to him as well. You know, but he definitely had some big shoes to fill coming into this finals. Next person I'm looking at, Steve Kerr. I give a lot of credit to Steve Kerr. Again, for the same thing that I mentioned in regards to Draymond Green, it takes a lot of courage, guys, to be able to take your star player, like Draymond Green, and pull him out of the rotation because he's not necessarily producing in the magnitude that you expected. That takes a lot of courage. Not a lot of people can do that, okay? Especially, like I said, this is a guy who's helped you win another three championships prior to the current series that you're in. Not a lot of people can do that. And you talk about the humbleness of mind on Draymond Green's end to understand and be focused on the idea of what the team needed in that moment and not being focused on himself. So I give a lot of credit, like I said, to these guys, to Steve Kerr as well. And finally, Mr. Steph Curry himself securing his fourth NBA championship, his very first finals MVP. Let me tell you guys something. All this talk, all this nonsense about whether or not Steph Curry is a great player, if he's a Hall of Famer, if he, you know, measures up with some of the greats that have played the game. If Steph Curry never won another NBA championship, let's say he never won one, so he finishes with three in his career. Steph Curry is still a Hall of Famer with that. Still. Because of what this man has been able to bring to the game. You talk about his ability to be able to shoot. I mean, and not just make shots, but it's the way that he does it. We've never seen anything like this before. Never. Not at that magnitude and at that accuracy. Steph Curry was a Hall of Famer before this NBA championship. Now, some people don't want to believe it. And you know what's funny? You would say, oh, now he won his fourth NBA championship. He finally got that finals MVP that everybody's been talking about that he never had on his resume. Oh, so now he's got it. So people should just hop off and leave him alone. No, that's not going to happen. They'll just find something else. They just find something else. So another quick lesson right here that we can take away from this is guess what? Live your own life and do what it is that you need to do for yourself, because living for the approval of man will never bring satisfaction. That's another side point. So I'll give you guys that to take with you in relation to Steph Curry. So I'm happy for him. Happy for the Warriors. Like I said, I think, you know, this was a big win for them considering what their last two seasons look like and all the doubt of people believing that they could never make it back. Especially this is the first one that they won without Kevin Durant since he has left. So a lot of credit given to them. Moving on to the second thing that's on my mind today. And yes, I opened up the show with it. Mr. Kevin Durant nearly broke the internet with his news requesting a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. So I think let me be honest with you. There's two ways of looking at this, okay? Two ways. We can look at this from the aspect of how does this make Kevin Durant look? How do I think it makes him look? Well, I'm going to tell you my opinion in a second. I'm going to tell you what I think it makes him look like to the masses. In the public eye, and all you guys that are sitting out there listening to me right now, I think it makes Kevin Durant look, from a basketball standpoint, that his character is now questionable. That's what I think. I think people now question his basketball character. I really do. Because I think the mindset that people were hoping Kevin Durant would take in this situation is, listen, Kyrie Irving just opted in for the final year. Last year was last year. You had all the nonsense about COVID-19 and the vaccine and guys just not being able to play and not knowing who's going to be on the roster. You know, all that nonsense. James Harden's now gone. You got Ben Simmons. I think a lot of people wanted to see Kevin Durant say, listen, let's give this thing a shot for 1 year. Let's see what we can do. You know, let's forget about last season. Let's clean this thing up and go out there. Last year was last year. It's a new season. I think that's what people wanted to see. However, that's not what he wanted. Excuse me. That's not what he wanted. Now, my personal opinion of what I think. To me, I don't have a problem with Kevin Durant requesting this trade. And the only reason why I don't have a problem with the request is because I don't believe Kevin Durant wanted to be a Net in the first place. And I believe the only reason why he was a Net is because Kyrie Irving, that's his homie, and they said, yo, bro, let's do this. This is where we need to be. And Kevin was like, all right, cool. Let's do it. And I think he went along with it. Because my thing is this. If he truly wanted to be a Net, I don't think it would be so easy for him just to get up and say, listen, it's not working out. I'm out after three seasons. You know, and let's face it, he only played two out of the three because the first year he sat out the entire year. I don't think so. If Kevin Durant truly wanted to be here and truly wanted to be a Brooklyn Net, I think he's fed up probably with the administration. He's probably fed up with the nonsense with Kyrie. Probably loves Kyrie still as a brother, but just doesn't want to play basketball with him anymore. And I mean, and you know, this is one of those situations why I sometimes in my mind, I would say, I think Kevin Durant was better off staying in Golden State for the aspect of the fact that he, to me, is not a great leader. All right. And the reason why I say that is because when you are a leader on a team, one of the characteristics of being a leader is being vocal. All right. Kevin Durant is not a vocal guy and he's not demonstrative either. People were always, I heard tons of people all season long. Why doesn't Kevin get in Kyrie's face? Why doesn't he tell him that he needs to go take the vaccine? Why doesn't he put him back in his line? Man, if Kyrie played with some of the other great players in the back from before, man, they probably would have tore him up and had him take that vaccine anyway. Why doesn't Kevin Durant do the same thing? That's not who he is. That's not who Kevin Durant is. Kevin Durant just wants to play ball. He just wants to play basketball. My man just wants to hoop. He just wants to hoop. That's it. He's not trying to be out there, you know, trying to get in people's face and put them in line like he's something. That's not who Kevin Durant is. He just wants to hoop. He just wants to play basketball. So that's what I think in that aspect, it would have been good for him. You know why? Because it was Steph Curry's team in Golden State. And Draymond Green was going to be Draymond Green and say whatever he had to say. Kevin didn't have to say nothing. Just come out there and play basketball. Easy. And he said this last year. I don't know if you guys listened to the interview that he did with Draymond Green on Bleacher Report. I actually did a segment on it myself as well here. He said pretty much his assignment when he came to Golden State was easy. He knew exactly what it was that he had to do. He understood it, and it was just easy for him to lock in. Those literally were some of his words. I'm paraphrasing some of them. But that basically is what he said. So that's why I think in some ways it was good for him. I think the reason why he didn't stay is because Kevin Durant was looking at his legacy. I think in the back of his mind, he knew that if he won 8 championships with the Golden State Warriors, he would still never be considered a great player. In his mind, I think that this is why he left. Because he wanted to go forth and try to create his own legacy. You know, which is tough, like I said, because he's not that vocal of a guy. You know, so it really would have to take somebody who doesn't require a lot of... if you want to call guidance, if you want to say, like somebody who doesn't require somebody to constantly be on them, you know, and I wouldn't, you know, I think the thing with Kyrie is just, you know, his head sometimes is just all over the place, you know, and people don't know necessarily whether he's coming or going, or, you know, if he's in or if he's out, you don't know, you know, so I don't think, like I said, in this case, it was a great matchup for KD to be with a guy like Kyrie, as we see, you know, the things that have transpired over the last year. So, going back to the idea of Kevin Durant going to Golden State, I know that's been a rumor been hearing about. Tell Kevin no. Absolutely not. I think that ship has sailed. I think he needs to focus on going somewhere else and go play. Go anywhere else that he wants to go, he can play anywhere else. Not in Golden State, I'm sorry. No. All right? Now, he talked about wanting to go to Miami. He talked about wanting to go to Phoenix. I think Phoenix probably would be a better matchup for him, especially if they can find a way to keep Chris Paul. They obviously have to keep Devin Booker. They can't trade him now. They just signed him. It's probably going to wipe out a good portion of their role players that we love so much. Cameron Payne, Cam Johnson, Mike Mikal Bridges. These are the guys. But I think if they can find a way to keep, like I said, Chris Paul and fill out the rest of the roster, you know, I think things will be promising for them. I really do, you know. Now, where do I want to see Kevin Durant? Where do I think he would fit in well? Well, apart from the 76ers, who I think would do a wonderful job, we can get rid of Tobias Harris and see who else we can get rid of on that roster. I don't know. Definitely Tobias Harris. I would say I'm going to go with the Bulls. All right. I got another team for you. I could say the Bulls or the Mavericks. I say the Bulls because I think about the connection he had with a guy like Zach LaVine when they played for the USA team during the last Olympic run. I could see that working out. They probably would have to get rid of somebody like DeMar DeRozan in order to bring in Kevin Durant. I don't know how Kevin feels about the Chicago media. It would definitely keep him a little bit closer to home. I know he has a business in New York. You know, so the Bulls, I could see that. I could see the Mavericks. The reason why I mentioned the Mavericks is because Luka's a great player. Luka is only scratching the surface of what he's going to be as time continues to go on. And I think when you look at the traction that they had this past year making it to the Western Conference Finals, you really just see the glaring factor of not being able to have another superstar that he can rely on just down the stretch. It hurt them. And just having somebody else who can put some buckets in there. So I think Kevin Durant would be great. I don't know how Kevin feels about the Texas media. We obviously know he went to University of Texas down in Austin. But that's another team I could see him fitting in well with. And they just picked up Christian Wood. So that would be a nice matchup as well. I mean, he might be traded too. He could, depending on how the numbers playing out with his contracts and things of that nature. But again, you know, these are some options. These are some places I think they could go. Kyrie Irving. Let me just touch on him real quick. Kyrie, I think if I'm Kyrie this year, the first thing I'm focusing on is trying to regain the trust of executives and members around the NBA. Because I think the nonsense that he put the Brooklyn Nets through is very evident to many different teams. People see it, and I think right now it's hurting him in the aspect of trying to find an organization that wants him to come play for them. Because people are trying to figure out, can we get Kyrie Irving, the basketball player who's committed and wants to be here, for if not all the season, 95% of it. And I think a lot of people don't feel that they can get a 95% Kyrie minimum, which is sad when you think about a guy with his prowess and his talent. So if I'm Kyrie, he needs to feel, I don't know how, but he's going to have to find a way to be able to regain the trust of the NBA teams, because right now he has not set himself up in a good place. And I know one way, actually. Yeah, I do have one recommendation. That's actually showing up and playing. How difficult is that? Considering that's the job he signed up for, right? We'll see what happens. The last thing I wanted to mention to you guys that was on my mind is the NBA draft, as we know, just took place 2 weeks ago. A lot of good picks that, you know, that were a lot of good players that were drafted, I should say. Just kind of focusing on the top three. I know there's a lot of controversy over where they were going to go. Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, and Jabari Smith. Now, I actually thought Jabari Smith would go number one. I thought Jabari Smith was the more complete player in relation to Paolo Banchero. I thought Banchero's a great player. Don't get me wrong. You know, I think he definitely showed, you know, some signs and some flashes of just being a great player as time goes on. But I thought with Jabari Smith, his size, his ability to defend, to run, to dribble, and to shoot, I thought he would have been more of a better option for as a number one than Banchero, you know. But we'll see. We'll definitely see what happens. Banchero definitely, you know, has a good size, good NBA body on him, about 6'10", 260. He can run the floor. Same thing, he can shoot it, you know, can defend. We'll definitely see, you know, how this works out. I mean, you know, Orlando saw something in him. And that's why, you know, there was such a switch right at the last minute, because all the reports we were hearing leading up was that Jabari Smith was going to go number one, Chet Holmgren number two. Chet, I think initially when you look at him, you get concerned about his size just being so thin. But, you know, I think one of the other things we have to remember is that today's NBA is not the NBA that we remember from like the 80s, if you want to say, or the 90s, where the game was a little bit more physical. The game is still physical today, you know, but there's a lot more finesse players. You know, there's a lot more, you know, ease for guys who are not the strongest to be able to thrive in this league as a result of the way the game is played. So, you know, I think, you know, I think Chet, you know, as time goes on, he'll probably put on some size. So I look at him now, he reminds me much of like how Kevin Durant was when he first came in, or Steph Curry as well. You know, these are guys that were very thin when they were first drafted. I think Chet will put on some size, obviously. The guy's definitely talented. He can shoot it. He can dribble it. He can get to the basket. He can defend. I have seen some of his summer league games so far. You know, not really jumping off the bandwagon, not really going crazy. Understanding that, you know, sometimes the summer league, you know, it's just really guys are kind of showcasing what it is that they have. They're trying to get a roster spot. You know, it's not necessarily the most organized basketball. But it does give you a chance just to kind of see, you know, what guys have in their arsenal. So I think it'll be interesting. You know, a lot of good competition that was drafted this year. And I'm excited because NBA basketball will be back. I think we're a little bit under 4 months now. So we're on our way there. All right, moving into crunch time. So a lot of big offseason trades and signings so far. I got a couple here that I just want to share with you guys that really jumped off the page to me. First, number one is Rudy Gobert to the Timberwolves. This one actually surprised me from a Timberwolves standpoint. I knew Utah wanted to make some changes. Didn't know if it was going to be Donovan Mitchell. Didn't know if it was going to be Rudy Gobert. They decided to move their center, and there may be more things coming. Don't forget, they just got rid of Royce O'Neal as well for some money, I believe, and also the draft pick. They sent him off to Brooklyn. We'll see what else happens, though. But I think Rudy Gobert going to the Timberwolves, it definitely will be nice. Karl Anthony Towns could benefit from having a center who can do the dirty work. I think they wanted Karl to be that guy, but it wasn't necessarily working out. So now they have a big guy in there who can rebound, block shots, and just help to defend the paint and protect the rim. So I think it'll be great. Next big trade that caught my eye, DeJounte Murray to the Hawks for Danilo Gallinari. This one caught me because I guess the first thing I think about is, well, the Hawks, they already have a point guard. Why are they bringing another point guard? I don't know, you know, but I do know that there's a lot more teams now that you see. They like the two-guard lineup in terms of being able to have two guys who can run the offense and also be able to score. Trae Young, we know Trae Young can score, and we know DeJounte Murray can score. DeJounte Murray's ability to get to the basket is elite. Trae Young's ability to be able to shoot from outside and be able to shoot that three ball is elite. You know, so, I mean, they definitely have some cool things there that they can mix up. I will leave that in the hands of head coach Nate McMillan to figure out for next year as the rosters come together. Danilo Gallinari was expected to, I think, opt out of his contract with the Spurs and eventually wanting to sign with the Celtics. So we will see where that goes just in the coming days. The next trade that really caught my eye was the Mavericks receiving Christian Wood. I like that pickup a lot, man. And I think, you know, he's a great upgrade when you think about who was there before in that position, a power forward, which was Mr. Kristaps Porzingis. I think Porzingis, you know, is still a good guy, has some talent to him, but you could definitely tell that dynamic between him and Luka, as time went on, it just was not going to work out. So I think this is a wise move for them to move on from him. They brought in guys like Davis Bertans. They brought in Spencer Dinwiddie. And now being able to add Christian Wood there, to me, is going to be a nice piece to put aside there with Luka Doncic. The next trade that really caught my eye, the 76ers picking up D'Anthony Melton and finally getting rid of Danny Green. I've been saying this for a long time. To me, Danny Green, his best years were in San Antonio, okay? Danny Green's best years were his years in San Antonio. He wasn't that great in the finals in 2020 with the Lakers. He actually missed some wide open key shots that he actually had an opportunity to take. Danny Green, you know, I couldn't get down with the Sixers keeping him for another year. So I'm glad they were able to move him and bring in D'Anthony Melton, another young guy as well who can score, plays hard, and probably will be a nice backup point guard behind James Harden, another option to handle the ball. We also still have Maxey, so it'll be interesting to see how that gets mixed up. Another trade that really caught my eye, I'm going with Malcolm Brogdon to the Celtics. This is huge because when you look at some of the Celtics' issues, not being able to have a point guard, there was way too many times in this finals where I saw Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, dribbling the ball up the court, trying to set up the offense or make a shot for themselves. I think having Malcolm Brogdon there will now put them in a position where they can just solely focus on getting into their position and allow Malcolm setting up his team to go ahead and put them in a good place to go ahead and score. So this will definitely take some pressure off of them. He can also score it himself. He can defend. And as we know, point guards are supposed to be an extension of the coach on the floor. I think this is definitely a guy that's going to buy into the system of Ime Udoka as things go forward. So it will be interesting. All right, guys, welcome into our line segment, the final segment of the show. This is one of my favorites. And again, to all my new listeners out there, subscribe. So If you are new, you're probably wondering what's going on right now. So we talk about sports here on this podcast, right? I'm talking to you about basketball. I'm talking to you about the NBA. However, what's also important to me is that you win in the game of life, all right? You're now sitting down here. You're taking time out of your day to sit down and listen to this podcast. And I believe that it's important that you take something away that you can actively put back into your own life that's going to put you in a position to be successful. So I always like to put a subtitle in for my line segment. So the subtitle today is Make It Count. Make it count. All right. And I'm going to tell you guys why I went with that one. Sadly, a good friend of mine a couple weeks ago, the Monday after Monday of Juneteenth, which is the Monday after Father's Day, passed away in a car accident. And I think for me, I just want to share you guys with this story, and you'll be able to connect the dots in terms of where I'm going with this. For me, you know, it was definitely a little bit tough on my end when I first got the news. Doing much more better today. Last time I saw him was a Saturday before Father's Day. He and I got to breakfast. We were sitting down talking about life like normal, just catching up, talking about bills, talking about he's the father of a 10-year-old. We were talking about his child. Again, life was we were just having a normal conversation. As if we would have any other day. And I think for me, the quickness of it all is what really blew me away in terms of how do you go from sitting down, having breakfast, catching up with a friend, talking about life, to 7 to 8 days later, standing at his funeral, talking about how great of a person he was and what he meant to those in his community. I think for me, that was the most toughest thing for me to grasp. You know, tough, really, really tough. And, you know, just being able to go and see his family and look at his mom and look at his dad, his sisters, and just kind of understanding there's really not words that you can bring to them in that moment that quote unquote is going to bring comfort. And just kind of feeling helpless. It was tough. It really was tough. But, you know, moving beyond that, for myself, you know, I think my biggest thing is, as I talked to you guys about before, never miss the power of an experience, right? So I say to myself, what are my biggest reminders out of all this? When I think about my good friend, Rashi, who's passed away, what are some of my big reminders that come to mind? So I put 3 to 4 items here for you together. And some of these are just kind of cliche. Some of these you guys know, but again, we say it so often, we don't really think about it. So number one, life is a gift and don't ever take it for granted. It truly is a gift. All you guys that are sitting here listening to me are here for a reason. You have a gift, you have a calling, you have a specialty. There's something that you specifically have been given. There's this unique ability about you that is specifically designed to the area and the place in which you were called to go forth and use it that I will never reach because it's not my trajectory. It's not within my trajectory. It's not where I've been called. Life is a gift. It's a gift. So make use of that opportunity that you have in front of you. Make it count. This is what we're talking about. Next thing I wanted to say is we should really attempt to live every day like it's our last. Again, how many times have you heard people say, yo man, live every day like it's your last? We say this stuff all the time, but like, no, seriously. Live every day like it's your last. And I said that to myself first. I think about so many times I wake up in the morning, I'm just kind of casual about it and just, you know, going about my day like normal because I wouldn't do that on any other day. But no, seriously, live every day like it's your last day. Every day. Think about what you would be doing if you knew your time here was coming to an end. Do it now. Do it now. Next thing I wanted to say is it's not too late to fix your errors or mistakes. I think if Rashi was here, he definitely would tell you guys that, you know, he wasn't perfect. You know, he definitely ran into some opportunities where he had an option to crumble or to clean up and keep going. And he chose to clean up and keep going many different times, you know, and he'd actually made some great traction, was able to get back up on his feet. Rashi actually went back to school. He became an LPN. He was on his way to becoming a registered nurse. Good guy, man. He definitely would tell you, you know, that he had his fair share of challenges, but he never stayed there. He never stayed there. So I was reminded as well as, you know, whatever errors, whatever mistakes that you've made, recognize them and keep going and keep going. Don't get caught up on it. Don't become fixated on it. Let it go. It's over. Clean yourself up and keep going. And the final thing I want to say to you guys is live like how you want to be remembered today. So however you want to be remembered, do it now. Do it now. 4 easy, simple points. Live life like it's a gift. Don't ever take it for granted. We should really attempt to live every day like it's our last. It's not too late to fix the errors or mistakes. And live life how you want to be remembered today. Do it now. Make it count. And that's what I got for you guys today. This has been 94 Feet. Again, to all my new listeners that are out there, thank you for taking time out to join us here. It's always a pleasure. I will be back with more content. You guys be safe out there, and I will be talking to you soon.